beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord.
Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done.
His miracles and the judgments he uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, his servant.
Children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
He is the Lord our God.
His judgments are in all the earth.
He remembers his covenant forever.
The word that he commanded for a thousand generations.
Stir up your hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his shoots. His roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be at the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf with the lion, and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's head. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for all peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son.
May he judge your people with righteousness, and your poor with justice.
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor.
May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth.
In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound, till the moon be no more.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Amen. The readings from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 15th chapter. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah! Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Hallelujah!
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3. I'll read again the first three verses. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" This is our text. Three words for today: look, listen, believe. Look, listen, believe. You could say that that's the theme of our Living Nativity weekend. We ourselves step back in time to make Bethlehem together. And then we invite the community to enter our little Bethlehem with us. Why? One of our members overheard a visitor last night asking his wife, why? Why would they do this? Why would they go to this much effort? It's a good question, and we'd be lying if we said we didn't ask that question ourselves from time to time. Why? Because the coming of our God in human flesh is the most important event in the history of the entire world. Amen. And that's making a big claim. I mean, history is filled with a lot of important events. Today, December 7th, marks the 84th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Next year, our country is preparing to celebrate its semi-quincentennial. Yes, I had to look that up. 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And that'll be a big deal. But we believe that what happened in Bethlehem with the birth of Jesus is an even bigger deal still. The biggest of all. Another reason to make Bethlehem is that our world, while it celebrates the birth of our Lord, also has made the Nativity into a bit of a cliche. It becomes sentimental, stylized. Instead of forming the foreground, the main event, the heart and center of Christmas, it's one of those things that seems to me like it's always lurking in the backdrop. Something that gets looked past rather than that something that gets looked at. Look, listen, believe. That's what we want for our Living Nativity visitors, isn't it? In the middle of a chaotic world of buying and selling, of thieving and joking, of weaving and basket making, tanning and carpentry, amid the smells of perfume and the braying and bleating and clucking of animals, where mothers shout for their children and old friends greet one another with shalom and the butcher's knife falls with a thwack, when the Roman ruler decided a census was a good way to get more shekels, and some magi set out on a journey of 1,000 miles, a child was born. And this child was and is and ever shall be the true God who came into a world like that and a world like this, into the world like ours, for us and for our salvation. May what our guests see and hear lead them to believe this with us, because what we want most of all is other beloved sinners to kneel and receive with us the grace and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant that this weekend again. But now it's our turn. I don't need to describe for you Living Nativity and what it's like. Now it's our turn to come out of the darkness and the chaos, and the buying, and the selling, and the crying, and the shouting, and the cold, and the pain, into a different world. You could say that this morning we've come through the doors of the inn to enter this place, this little heaven on earth. And let us not let this place become for us a cliche or sentimental or stylized or a backdrop on our lives. Let's not miss what's happening here. And today, let John the Baptist help prepare you for what we have in this place. Because our Lord Jesus Christ didn't stay in the stable in Bethlehem. He left the stable and he went to the cross and he burst from the tomb and ascended into heaven and he promised to come again soon for us. So let's take a moment together here to look and listen through the word and to believe it. To believe it for yourself, dear friend. What are we looking at when we hear the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3? Straight from the pages of the Old Testament, we see a strange figure come lunging toward us. You can see him on the front of the bulletin as well. In those days, John the Baptist came. And what do we see? A strange man leaping out at us. He's wearing camel's hair clothing, a leather belt around his waist, eating wild locusts and honey. Before we see him, we hear him, a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Here's a man who looks like he comes straight from the Old Testament. He looks like the prophet Elijah. He's dressed like that. He's the sort of man who could be described by the prophet Isaiah. It's like the entire Old Testament, those first 39 books of the Bible, has come to life. And he wants us not to look at him, but to look at the one to whom he points. This is how you'll often see John the Baptist pictured. A man dressed in this crazy way with his finger pointing. As if to say, look not at me, but look at the one to whom I direct you. Martin Luther said this about John the Baptist. He said, not because of his austere life, not because of his phenomenal birth, his parents were past the age of childbearing, but because of his blessed finger, because of his message and his office. No other man had such fingers as John's, with which he points to the Lamb of God and declares that he is the true Savior who would redeem the world from sin. For he is the ultimate of all prophets and preachers. No more comforting word and finger will ever appear than John's word and pointer. Look to where John points you. Look to the one whose way he prepares. Look to the one whom he proclaims. He who is coming after me, John said, is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy even to carry. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist today would capture our eyes and would direct our eyes not to himself, but to our Lord Jesus Christ, whose way he prepares. He would have us see not the chaos of the world around us, not even all the preparations for Christmas, but he would have us see, most of all, Jesus Christ, who has come in the flesh, who comes now to meet us in his word and his gifts, and who is coming again. Raise your eyes and look at the Savior of the world. And listen. Listen to what John the Baptist has to say. Simple words, but difficult to carry out. Repent, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom comes. Not far off in the future, not one day down the road, not tomorrow, but he says, today. It is at hand. The Savior is near. He is at the very gates and coming quickly. And he calls us to repent. John didn't come to be the Savior, but he came to produce repentance. He came to turn people away from their idols and their sins and their pride, and to turn them toward the sacrifice for sins. John's point isn't just to make people better, to make them good people or give them better morals. No, he came to proclaim God's law, to turn them away from their sin, so that they would be prepared to hear God's gospel and hear and see their Savior. What are the idols of our age? What are the idols of our society? What are the idols of our own lives? There are some things that come to mind, especially in this Christmas season. The idols of greed and of envy and of self-indulgence and of worry and anxiety. Greed, because our society makes Christmas all about the commercial season of buying and selling. It's not just a marketplace in Bethlehem, it is a marketplace in the entire world. It preys on our desire to have, our desire to get, our desire to keep up with those around us. The idol of envy, because we see what others have and wish that we had it as well. We see their success or their financial well-being or the job that they have or the things that they're able to procure with their money, and we desire to have the same. Self-indulgence is another idol of this day. That it would turn us to think not about those around us and not about our Lord and his coming, but rather to seek what we can do for ourselves. And on top of all of it, worry and anxiety. In some ways, it's a deeply sad thing that the Christmas season can be a season of especial worry and anxiety for people. Trying to prepare and make everything be what they want it to be, and all the while missing out on the fact that what matters most is the one who has come and comes now and will come again. Listen, repent, turn from your sins, renounce them and leave them behind. Let the things that you've been carrying, those sins that have been weighing you down, the things that pull you away from your Lord and from his coming again, let them be drowned in the waters of your baptism, and then get up wet and walk in the newness of life. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the world doesn't know it. They think it's simply a season for buying and selling. But we know that he has come and is coming and will come again soon. Look, listen, and believe. This is the most crucial thing for us as Christians. Not to get caught up in all of the doing or even all of the making of Bethlehem, that we forget the most important thing of all, that we are called to believe in the one who came after John and the one who comes to us even now with his grace and mercy. And that is why we gather not only to make Bethlehem, but we gather here even more importantly to hear his word. For that is how he makes us Christian, and that is how he keeps us Christian as well. Setting before our eyes and our ears the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who gives his very blood and body for you on this altar today for the forgiveness of your sins. This is where John would take us. This is what he would have us see and hear and believe. The Lamb who was slain for our sins from the foundation of the world. The blood that was shed on the cross and the body that was given there that are now brought forward to us in time. Today we don't go back to Bethlehem. We don't go back to the night when our Lord was betrayed or to his cross on Good Friday or to the empty tomb or to his ascension into heaven. But our Lord brings all of that forward to us. For here is Bethlehem again. And here is the night when he was betrayed. And here is the cross on which he died. And here is the tomb which he broke open. And here is our Lord risen and reigning and ascended, who bids you to look and to listen and to believe in him. May God grant this again to us today and to all who will enter through the doors of our Bethlehem and the doors of our church this night as well. And may Christ be glorified and honored and his kingdom be filled. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Merciful God, you remember your covenant forever, for 1,000 generations. Teach us to remember your wondrous works and seek your strength and presence continually. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, the voice of your prophet broke the silence to prepare the way for your Son. Give your people the courage to speak Christ to the nations, and teach those still in darkness and death about his gift of life and light. Keep us from being ashamed of the gospel or intimidated by the opinions of others. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we thank you for watching over us and our visitors during the first night of Living Nativity. Give us joy, energy, health, and good weather for the second night, and grant that all who see and view our little Bethlehem may come to know and trust the child of Bethlehem as their Savior. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you preserved Jesse's faithful line by the incarnation of your Son. Give families and individuals strength to faithfully fulfill their vocations to love and forgive one another, that we may be trained up in your fear, love, and trust. Bless all expectant mothers, including Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Son, merciful Lord, your Son rules over creation with justice and righteousness. Endow those in authority with the desire and ability to protect the innocent, punish the wicked, and work for the common welfare. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, St. John promised healing to the broken and wounded. Give to all afflicted in body or mind the riches of your grace, healing according to your will, and grace to carry them through the day of their trouble. We pray especially for Dave and Janet, that you would strengthen and sustain them through his next infusion round. For our sister Judy to heal her ankle, uplift her soul, and restore her health. For Robert and Diane to give success to his surgery and safe travel to Pastor and Mary. For Hattie to be with her and her family in her recovery, and be with Max and Jordan as they serve them. For Lauren and John, that you would grant them peace and give skill and wisdom to the surgeons and medical team. For Gino's cousin Eddie, comfort in his mourning, and for his uncle Lee, peace in these latter days. For Melinda, that you would give success to her central line in providing nutrition and giving her strength. For Michael and Nancy Jane, that they might have safe travel, wisdom in upcoming appointments, and care for his mother Lena with her broken hip. For Rick and Teresa in his recovery. For Carol in her dying days, and that you would grant your help and support to Helen and her family. For Jordan, a friend of Shannon Emmerich, that she would be restored in her strength and health. And we also commend into your care David, Rick, and John, and Rosemarie. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Stir up our hearts, O Lord, and make ready the way of your only begotten Son, who comes to us this day in his true body and precious blood for the forgiveness of our sins. May all who feast upon him do so in repentance and faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, grant us all things needful and keep us from all things harmful to us and to our salvation, that with confidence in your will, we may say amen to our prayers and live in contentment and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given to us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 25, a psalm of prayer, starting at the first verse. "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me known your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are God of my salvation. And you I wait all day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to you, steadfast love, remember me for the sake of the goodness of the Lord, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble his way. For all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him I will instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in the beginning, and the offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.